now turn to read God's Word, and our reading this evening is from the New Testament and the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. Luke's Gospel and chapter 18. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarding man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable concern unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they which went before him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and following him glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us all understanding in the reading of his own holy word. We continue our praise, this time coming to Psalm 45. Psalm 45, and we're singing from the beginning of that psalm, verses 1 through 4. The first verse, in my heart brings forth a goodly thing, my words that I indite concern the king. My tongue's a pen of one that swift doth write. Thou fairer art than sons of men. Into thy lips is store of grace infused. God therefore thee hath blessed forevermore. O thou that art the mighty one, thy sword girt on thy thigh. Even with thy glory excellent and with thy majesty. For meekness, truth and righteousness and state ride prosperously. And thy right hand shall thee instruct in things that fearful be. Psalm 45, these four stanzas, my heart brings forth a goodly thing. This morning we were thinking of the window of opportunity where the Lord spoke about working while he had the opportunity, daytime, and the nighttime when no man can work. And that referred to the ministry of our Lord in the land and amongst the people and society in which he was then living. I want therefore tonight to take one specific example of opportunity that came from the Lord. I want therefore to turn to verse 39, 40 and 41 of the reading there from Luke's Gospel chapter 18. The experience of the blind man who met the Lord as they were coming into Jericho. Verse 41, perhaps just a focus saying, the Lord asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. What an opportunity that was for this man to be asked and given that question. And we read there very specifically what his desire and his intention was. Through this chapter, the Lord is speaking about and emphasizing persistence, perseverance. We see it in the example of prayer with this woman. To keep on praying even when there are obstacles in the way. A widow, she would have little recognition in the eyes of the law. A woman, no one else going to speak for her. Poor, no money to bribe to get what she was wanting for a quick answer to her solution, to her problems. She presented her case before the judge. And she was rejected. She was disappointed because she knew her case was right. But that persuasion by her kept her going. And she tried and she tried and she tried again. And that's the testimony of verse 5 on the part of the judge. Lest by her continually coming, she weary me. There we have the testimony to her persistence that was highlighted by the Lord as the lesson we are to lay hold of as we come before him in prayer. The judge was sick and tired of her coming and eventually gave her justice. She persisted. She wasn't put off. She wasn't given in. She wasn't squashed flat. She just kept on coming and coming and coming. The same thing is seen in the life of this blind man. He heard this commotion and he heard what was happening round about him, and when he knew who it was, he cried out. But the people were putting him off. Go on, back to where you were. Sit down where you were. But as he was put off, so he cried so much the more. And again, the emphasis comes to us, as with the woman, so with this blind man, of persistence when that opportunity was presented before him. There was a priority with him. He had a real need. He had to receive his sight. But there was urgency also, and there was this glorious opportunity because Jesus was coming along that path. Coming along that path into the city of Jericho, and who knows if he would ever be on that path or coming to that city again. There was this one opportunity for this man to cry out, and he was persistent when confronted with that opportunity. An example of what our Lord was speaking about in John 9 and verse 4 about the daytime and the opportunity to work while it is day. So we have here the focus on opportunity and on persistence in the face of that opportunity. There was going to be no barrier. There was going to be nothing to stop this man from crying out. In fact, any attempts to put him down only stimulated him. That persistence, the persistence that the Lord seeks to stimulate with you and I also. Because sometimes that persistence is used by the Lord as a test for our desire for something. We're not given something at the first time of asking. We're not given something at the first time of praying. What then do we do? We keep on asking. And sometimes that delay for a while on the part of the Lord in answering the prayers that come from you or from me, that time can be used by the Lord to test exactly how deeply, how intently we want what we're asking for. A quality of the Christian's life to keep going, to be persistent. Not only in prayer, but in other places it's brought out to continue in good works. Not to give in or to give up. Yes, and even when it comes down to seeking God's blessing, to seeking God's forgiveness. You remember the way in which in Genesis 32 he wrestled and the daytime was coming. And he wouldn't let go. Except thou bless me, I will not let thee go. So it is with ourselves. We need this persistence in asking and coming before the Lord. We know it ourselves in our own life. When something costs us time or effort or energy, when something costs us like that, we value it. And so it is when we come persistently and it costs us, it shows what value we place upon it. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else has a priority with us at that time. We want this from the Lord, and we continue to seek it from Him. Especially that applies in the work of salvation. To come and to cast ourselves upon the Lord and to ask and seek for His pardon and His forgiveness. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep seeking and keep asking of the Lord. Is our soul worth so little in our minds that we cannot keep asking? Is eternity something so relatively indifferent to us that we don't give it a second thought? Time ebbs away from us quickly, and soon we will fly hence and will be no more. So therefore we must give ourselves all the more passionately and with application, persistently, as every opportunity comes our way, to seek the Lord, to know His blessing, to know His forgiveness. Because there comes a time when that opportunity will no longer be there with us. Tonight then, we come together. We are sitting in the way, as it were. Just like this man, this blind man outside Jericho, we are sitting by the wayside. We are in the place. We're found in the place where others have known the blessing and the pressure. Others have known God's touch upon their lives. Here we are underneath the preaching of God's word. And in the preaching of that word, Jesus of Nazareth is passing us by. Here we have this unique opportunity. Here tonight we have this unique experience. Here tonight, the Lord is present with us in and through His word. He is amongst us as we've gathered in His name. He speaks to us and He is there meeting with us. What then is our response and our reaction? How do we respond to this glorious opportunity? And taking what we said this morning, we don't know how long we've got it or how often it will be repeated to us. We simply don't know. And that ignorance ought all the more to focus our thoughts on our response and our reaction to this privilege tonight. Very briefly then, I want us to think first of all again of opportunity. The opportunity that this man had sitting by the way. He was in great need. Humanly speaking, his case was possibly beyond the resources of the day to cure. Nobody could help him. He was there just simply casting himself upon the generosity and the goodwill of those that passed by to put a penny in his hat or in his hand and to let him get through and eke out his existence day after day. It wasn't a pleasant existence, it was a hard lifestyle he had, to be carried there, to be led there day after day, and to cast himself upon that goodwill of those that passed by. But on one day, Jesus was passing by. And on that one day, everything changed and became different. He was in need, and nobody was able to help him. But Jesus could, and Jesus did. We might be sitting with this blind man. We are in the same state as he was in. We are in the same place. Blind, with little understanding of what's going on round about us, perhaps. But here we are, in the place where Jesus is passing us by, presented and made known. For some times, perhaps we've sat. Perhaps other times we've been here and there has been that breath of heaven come upon us. We've felt and known his presence in the ministry of the word to our soul on other occasions. Alone he has spoken to us, held everything at arm's distance from us. There have been times when we've been in that kind of situation. And again he repeats that to us. He's there in his word, meeting with us. And as he comes and as he speaks with us, he is able to meet us in our need, just as he met this blind man in his need. Perhaps tonight we're carrying a weight upon our conscience. It's been there over many, many a year. We've tried so many different ways to get relief and respite, but nothing has worked. We've got no relief, we've got no easing. We're constantly confronted day after day by this guilt that we're carrying with us. A heavy load on our conscience. And there's nothing we can do, and there's nothing that others can give us that will give relief or respite or removal for us. And the only one who can minister to us, and the only one who can help us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has preached and presented to us in this gospel this evening. Or again, perhaps some other need we might focus on. We are dissatisfied and we're empty in our life. We may, today there's so much going for us and helping us that we've got a shell we can create round about us that all is well with us. But yet we find that deep below the surface, there's a dryness and a deadness and an emptiness. There's a hollowness in our life that few are aware of but ourselves. We don't have that satisfaction that others have. There's an anguish. There's a burden with us. The word anguish sometimes can, well, it comes from a root meaning shortness. And sometimes we can measure God in inches. Sometimes we can be limiting God. Sometimes we can be restricting and hemming God in and boxing him round about. And our lives are dissatisfied and our lives are empty and our lives can be hollow. Paul was like that. He looked for peace from the formality of his faith and all the rituals that he was going through. He thought that he would find it in all of these things that were set out for him from the history of his nation and his people. But deep down inside there was an emptiness, there was a dissatisfaction. Deep down inside there was that hollowness that still echoes with ourselves today. And it was only when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, it was only when that day dawned upon him, only then were things put right with him. That opportunity of meeting Jesus. The old had to be dismantled. Yes, all of the ritual and all of the formality of his life had to be dismantled. And there had to be a building set up new on the foundation of Jesus Christ as his Lord and his God. The opportunity, dissatisfied with life, the way we can be that way ourselves. So many other things can come upon us. We're weak, we're frail, we're anxious, we're worried. We're not equal to what's going on round about us. We don't have the strength, we don't have the wisdom to carry us through the problems and the difficulties that are set out for us. The only one who can meet us and the only one who can help us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, you and I, we're all different. You and I, we all carry different concerns and anxieties with us. You and I, we are different memories, different experiences, different characters. But here tonight, whatever be the need, whatever complexion it comes in, whatever color it has, here tonight, the opportunity is that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What a glorious opportunity that is for any one of us to meet him as the one who alone can meet our needs, who can alone bring the spiritual peace that we're looking for, the strength, the wisdom, the ease, who can take away the guilt from our conscience and give satisfaction in their life. Jesus Christ, the one who tonight is here in the gospel passing us by. So if that was the opportunity that was given to this man, I want us also to think about the activity that he was engaged in. What did he do? He didn't just simply sit and wait, but he was stirred up and he started seeking after the Lord. Oh yes, he was blind, but we're told that he sought the Lord. And how did that happen? What was he doing? The first thing we can say about this man is that he was listening. Whenever somebody is blind, there's always the compensation in other faculties to make up for that blindness. And the mind, the memory rather especially, becomes a lot sharper because they don't know where things are. They can't see them. Therefore, they've got to remember where they last left things. They're going to be aware of what's going on round about them. And to be aware, they've got to listen well. This man might have been blind, but he didn't stop listening. And there was this unusual commotion taking place. Something special was happening. And so he paid close attention to it. He heard the approach of Jesus, and he heard what was going on with the people. The talk was different. The conversation was different. It was about this person, Jesus Christ. Something might be said in a sermon. It's been said often before. We've heard it often before, but perhaps on one occasion, something about it grabs our attention. Something that's said gets our interest. Something that is said lodges with us. We're listening. And maybe we've been listening many a time before. But just once. Something that is said takes on an altogether different complexion and effect with us. There's something said about Jesus that sticks and remains with us. He was listening, and so must we. And as he listened, and the commotion was going on round about him, he also asked, what does it mean? What's happening? He didn't understand it, so he wanted an explanation. He didn't understand, so he wanted an explanation. How true that is of our own Christian spiritual experience, is it not? There are times when things come into your life and mine. There are times when the Lord does things in us and to us and for us. And we don't understand at the time what it is. And we've therefore got to ask for an explanation. Why is it so important? Why is it so urgent that I know Jesus Christ as Savior? What's all the hurry about? We need to understand, and if we don't, we need to ask. To take time to ponder. What does this mean for me? What is God saying to me? And what does he require from me? This man asked because he didn't understand. And there are many things that we don't understand, not only in our scriptures and Bible, but also in our own experience and in our lives. And we need to ask. And the Lord will answer and give us what we need to carry us on and to carry us through. But not only did he listen, not only did he ask, but he also prayed. He cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." It was a short prayer, no more than a handful of words. But it was a prayer that went straight to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was looking for mercy. He was looking for sight. He was looking for healing. He was looking for strength. And so he asked. And he kept on asking for it. Those that were about the Lord, they rebuked this man for intruding and disturbing their progression to the city. And they were putting him down. But this man was going to have none of it. He kept at it. He kept on asking. He kept on praying. With ourselves, surely we can do the same. When we have a promise from the Lord, when the Lord has said, "I will do this or give this," when we have a promise like that in our Bibles, then we can take it back to the Lord in prayer. Hold it up to him for him to fulfill it. And to do what he has said. There may be a delay comes in. We may be conscious of difficulties, barriers, obstacles. We might be confronting with a whole host of reasons why it shouldn't happen for you or for me. But we don't give up. But we keep on praying. This prayer went straight from the heart to the heart of the Lord. It wasn't drawn out, it wasn't painted up, it wasn't dressed in any way. It was the cry of the soul to the Saviour. Its beauty is its simplicity. He was calling a spade, but there was a reverence about the way in which he spoke with the Lord, even although there was an urgency, even although there was that persistence. He had a belief, he had a commitment, he was convinced that the Lord was able to do for him what he was asking. And notice the way in which that prayer from his heart stopped the Lord in his tracks. Stopped the Lord, and he turned and he asked, "What wilt thou have me to do unto thee?" What a glorious opportunity that was for this man. What do you want me to do? The scope of the possible answers ranging all over the place. The scope of possible answers in this department, in that area. And yet he fixed on one thing. He wanted his sight. What a glorious opportunity. And the way in which he asked the Lord for that one thing needful and necessary for him, that he might have his sight. What do we want Jesus to do for us? When he comes and he meets with us, when we know his presence with us in a service or on our own, when we're reading our Bibles and we're conscious of the things of heaven breaking in upon us and the things of the earth going away from us, and we're conscious we're just alone with the Lord. What an opportunity that is for any one of us. What do we ask for? And what do we want from the hand of the Lord? Spiritual blessing. For ourselves, yes, but for others also. What do we want Jesus to do for us? What a glorious opportunity for him. An opportunity for us that the Lord would save and redeem and give us spiritual sight. The challenge then from these words for ourselves. He is passing by, he is there, here in the preaching of his word. We can be like this blind man. We can be aware of our blindness. We can be aware of so many things against us. We can be aware of so many handicaps and problems and barriers. But Jesus Christ is the one who gives us hope. He's the only one who can give us help. And so this man called out, and so must we. Persistently crying out to the Lord. To touch and to lay hold of the compassion of a shepherd for a lost sheep. And the door of opportunity was wide open for this man. And he was not going to let it pass without using it. He knew and he felt his need every day. That's something that is true about the Christian also. We know and we feel our need every day. And as the opportunity comes to him, he seeks one thing from the hand of the Lord to meet his need and to change his life forever. From that day onward, his life was different. It was never the same with that blind beggar. At the crossroads, at a crisis, some confrontation, whatever matter or issue it might be, the challenge comes from ourselves also. We are in great need, and the Lord is there before us. And what an opportunity it is to bring our needs to Him and to seek His answer for that need. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearned for them, not thee. But while I passed my Saviour by, His love laid hold on me. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. We have been, every one of us, exposed to different privileges. We've known the truth for many a year over different occasions. We all have heard the Lord preached and proclaimed in the gospel. That window of opportunity is before us again here tonight. And it comes down simply to this. He asks, what do you want me to do for you? A tremendous scope and opportunity, but the one thing necessary and the one thing essential for every one of us. Lord, that I might see and have my sight. Lord, that my soul might be saved. Lord, that I might know your blessing upon my life. How then do we respond to this glorious opportunity that we've got as the Lord in His gospel is presented and is present and is passing by us tonight? Do we seek His salvation and His blessing upon our soul? Or do we, like we learned this morning from Felix, do we wait for another time? But that other time might never come. For this blind man, Jesus only went into the city of Jericho there and then, at that time. A unique, glorious opportunity that he used, cried out, and received blessing from God. And the same stands true for ourselves tonight. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for the way in which thou dost meet with us, and the way in which thou dost address our needs, meeting us at the very point of that need. No man might know it, but it is known to thee. And we bless thee for the way in which there is a sufficiency in thy grace for all of our needs, however deep and intense they might be. But especially, Lord, we bless thee for the way in which there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet the most basic and the most profound of needs that any one of us can know, how to be right with thyself. And we ask therefore, our God, that thou wouldst deal with us in thy grace and in thy mercy, and bring us to know Christ as our own personal Lord and Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 13. Psalm 13, and we're singing the last four stanzas from verse 3. O Lord, my God, consider well, and answer to me make. Mine eyes enlighten, lest the sleep of death me overtake. Lest that mine enemy should say, against him I prevailed. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved and failed. But I have all my confidence, thy mercy set upon me. My heart within me shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will unto the Lord my God sing praises cheerfully, because he hath his bounty shown to me abundantly. Psalm 13 from 3 through to 6. O Lord my God, consider well. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit